Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day and welcome to a special call with CJP titled Managing Our Community's Resources for Today and Tomorrow. Today's call is being recorded. To welcome you and introduce the call is Becca Itaregi, CJP's Associate Vice President of Development Strategy and Donor Relations. Becca, you may begin.
Thanks, Alan. Thank you all for joining us today for our third in the series of spring conference calls. We developed this series in order to provide an opportunity for supporters and friends of CJP to learn more about our work. I'm especially pleased that so many of you have participated in at least one of these calls in the past, and thank you for your feedback. So many of you have already shared, and that many of you have attended one of our 365 sessions with Rabbi Mark Baker. In many of these sessions, questions about how CJP manages its finances came up, and from that feedback, this call was born. Here's how today will work. We'll have a more formal presentation conversation for the first, 10 to 15 minutes or so, based largely in part on the pre-reads that all of you have received. Then we'll open it up to some questions from you on the line. I'm benefited by some of you have sent in some questions in advance, so to get the conversation started, I'll begin with those. So those of you on the call have time to formulate your own questions, and don't be shy. We've had a slight change to our agenda today due to a scheduling conflict. Howard Rubin, CJP's treasurer, is unable to join us, and while we're sorry to miss him, I am thrilled to welcome my colleague and friend, Charlie Glassenberg. Many of you know Charlie. He is our Vice President of Gift Planning, Investment Partnerships, and Corporate Compliance. It's my pleasure to introduce David Strong, CJP's Chief Financial Officer, who will get this conversation started. David?
Thanks, Becca, and thank you for everybody for joining us today. And Charlie, thank you for stepping in here at the last minute. We're looking forward to speaking with you all about CJP's philanthropic assets under management. And today presents a unique opportunity for us to really discuss that in more detail, to provide a high-level overview of the benefits that our program provides for the community. To give a little perspective, and as you saw in the advanced materials, CJP's total philanthropic assets under management at the moment are in just shy of $2 billion. And we thought it was important, based on feedback we've received from the community and just from a transparency standpoint, to really talk about why is CJP playing in this space, what's the value add back to the community. So as we go through today's presentation, I'm going to speak briefly about CJP's endowment, and then I'm going to hand it over to Charlie, who's going to speak about CJP's Donor Advised Fund program, and then I'll come back and wrap it up by giving a high-level overview of the Jewish Community Endowment Pool, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers. Okay? So let's jump in and start with endowment. Today, CJP's endowment currently totals approximately $200 million. Approximately 30% of that is representative of CJP's unrestricted endowment, and approximately 70% of that is represented as CJP's restricted endowment. And the endowment is a charity's long-term savings and investment account, and it must be stewarded for the future while also supporting current needs. It's permanent capital that is invested and used to sustain the community for generations to come. And these resources allow CJP to address needs that exist today and enable us to plan for the future. We spend from the endowment in a responsible manner in order to preserve this basic capital and protect its purchasing power against inflation. Every year we have a robust conversation at our Budget Administration Committee and at our Board of Directors as we contemplate what's appropriate endowment spending, what's an appropriate distribution of funds, based on the maturity of individual endowment funds and of our overall program. And currently, we are allocating approximately 5% of the trailing 16-quarter average market value of our endowment each year that is being distributed out into the community. And in the current year, that amount currently totals around $8 million that's being distributed in support of CJP's resource allocation plan and via direct grants to the community, providing opportunities to enrich Jewish education, fund camping opportunities for young children, and to engage students in Jewish life on college campuses, and much, much more. I'm going to pause there and turn it over to Charlie to talk a little bit about the Donor Advised Funds Program.
Thanks, David. CJP's Donor Advised Fund Program represents a partnership between CJP and nearly 800 donors and donor families. It's a program CJP has run for nearly 50 years. Our Donor Advised Fund Program is one of the oldest in the country. Donors to the Donor Advised Fund Program take advantage of CJP's investment management and grant administration expertise. We manage these funds affordably and efficiently, and we're proud to offer these services to philanthropists with a wide range of resources. Our DAF program is similar to that that's offered by Fidelity Charitable, the Boston Foundation, and other local and national charities, but it benefits from being run through the unique lens of Jewish Boston. Grants from the DAF program are legal grants from CJP, but the funds are distributed as donors become passionate about different things and then recommend outgoing grants. CJP thoroughly vets every single organization that donors wish to support by recommending a DAF grant. We don't permit grants that are in conflict with our mission or to organizations that are out of compliance with strict IRS regulations. CJP does not require that grants be made to CJP or any specific charity or area of interest. We only require that a grant be distributed at least every 5 years, although the vast majority of our donor advised funds are much more active than that. Each year, more than 10% of the program's assets are distributed. Last fiscal year, so the last year ending June 30, 2018, more than $115 million in grants was distributed. This year, we expect it will be over $130 million. 30% of the dollars granted out from the DAF program typically go to efforts within the Jewish community in support of things like Jewish education, overnight camping, Israel, synagogues, family services, and programs for seniors. Programs go to the local Jewish community, they go nationally and internationally, and some go directly to charities operating in Israel. The other 70% supports a breadth of efforts: healthcare, the environment, arts and culture, civil rights, education. And that makes sense because our donors, like us, are part of a broader local, national, and global community in which they engage as citizens, volunteers, and donors. The CJP DAF program gives them a chance to do so through a distinctly Boston Jewish lens. The DAF program allows us to help these donors maximize their philanthropy in significant ways that truly benefits the broader community. I'm going to hand it back to David to talk about the Jewish Community Endowment Pool, LLP.
Now, before I dive into Jewish Community Endowment Pool, I did want to add a little context. When Charlie mentioned that in the current year, the Donor Advised Fund Program, or in the past year, the Donor Advised Fund Program allocated $115 million in grants and philanthropic grants to the Jewish and broader philanthropic communities. This year, we're anticipating $130 million. That represents well over 7,000 individual grants from the 700, 800 donor advised funds that we administer, supporting well over 1,500 individual organizations. And for those of you who have the time and the inclination, I encourage you to peruse CJP's 990, where every organization that receives a grant from both CJP's allocation process and from our donor advised fund program is listed there. Now I'm going to move into just a high-level overview of Jewish Community Endowment Pool, or JCEP, as we finally like to call it here internally, because what's life at CJP without an acronym? But JCEP is an investment platform that's used to invest long-term philanthropic capital by CJP and by other organizations. We use a prudent and carefully managed investment strategy focused on long-term returns. JCEP's assets include CJP's endowment, 100% of CJP's endowment, and a portion of our Donor Advised Fund Program, as well as, and this is the exciting part for us at CJP and hopefully for the broader community, as well as the assets from 80 other Jewish partners and co-investors, both locally and nationally. Nearly all of our local Jewish educational organizations, social service partners, and synagogues participate in JCEP. And JCEP also includes the assets from Jewish community organizations across the country and internationally that share a common mission of service to the Jewish people. And their fiduciaries, their individual fiduciaries, have all individually chosen JCEP as an investment platform for the, for their organization's philanthropic capital. As you can imagine, the assets for those 80 other entities are obviously not CJP's to distribute. Those organizations individually decide how they want to use these funds. So this is not information that we can report on. However, you can see a summary level information about Jewish Community Endowment Pool in the CJP audited financials, where we reflect the total assets that we're managing for other entities. CJP is pleased and in many ways feels it's our responsibility to provide the community with access to best-in-class investment platform to further the impact of the efforts of all of our important organizations. In particular, we know that JSEP is a valuable resource to smaller Jewish charities locally that may not have other options to invest in a diversified and carefully monitored fashion. So that's my quick high-level overview of JSEP and Charlie's overview of the donor investment program and my quick overview of the endowment. So in closing, last year in total, CJP facilitated more than $170 million in philanthropic support for the Jewish community and beyond. As donors and supporters of CJP, your gifts are what enable us to offer these resources and services to the community, and it's because of you that we can be more than just a grant maker. We're helping our partners fulfill their missions today and sustain their efforts for the future.
Great. Thank you, David and Charlie. At this point, Alan, I'd like to open it up for questions, and after you give the instructions to the callers on how to do that, I'll kick off the conversation with a couple of the questions that have been emailed in advance. But if you don't mind sharing the instructions with the callers, that would be super.
Certainly, ma'am. If you'd like to ask a question on the phone, you can do so at this time by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. Please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And if you're using a speakerphone, it might be necessary to lift your handset before making your selection. So once again, that is *1 if you'd like to enter the phone queue. We'll pause for just a moment.
Okay, great. Thanks, Alan. So, Charlie, the first question I think I'd like to direct to you. You said in your remarks that CJP spends 5% of its endowment every year. What would make CJP change its spending policy?
So the spending policy is determined, as David mentioned, by our Budget and Administration Committee and our Board of Directors after a lot of thoughtful conversation and analysis by our volunteer leaders and also by CJP management. In that analysis, we take into account a set of factors that are part of a fiduciary duty of our organization and that are actually spelled out by Massachusetts law. Under a regulation known as the Uniform Prudent Management of Invested Fund Assets, or yet another good acronym, UPMIFA.
Love it.
So under UPMIFA, we have to think about two sets of things. One of them are a set of things that are related to the world as it is. What are current and likely future investment returns? And what are the current and likely future needs of the community? So we look at the needs of the community today, we look at the investment returns recently experienced and that potentially would be experienced in the near future, and then also balance that against the other resources that CJP has to support its mission generally and to support the work that is funded by individual endowments. At the same time, we also have to preserve a sense of what's known as intergenerational equity, which is the idea that there are needs that exist today, but there will almost certainly be needs in the future. So that while we are spending in support of current needs, we have to prudently protect assets and spending value. We mentioned inflation earlier. We have to protect the ability to spend meaningfully for future generations, for the children and the grandchildren of people who are even young today. So things that would make us change our spending policy would be a very different investment return environment now. Opportunities for higher returns, or lower returns. A sense that the needs today might be particularly critical compared to needs we might see in the future, either for specific funds or for our endowment more generally. And a sense that the assets from our endowment are needed now in particular or less needed because of current or future fundraising available to CJP. So it's a bit of a balancing act, and it asks us to predict the future, which is something that we're terrible at. All people are terrible at, and to try to guess things like future investment returns or the needs of this community 50, 100, 200 years from now. Our oldest endowment funds date from the 1920s. There are charities in Boston that have endowment funds from the 17th century. And so we have to both be mindful of the needs and the opportunities today and what the future might hold.
Great. Thank you, Charlie. Alan, do we have anybody queued up for a question on the line, or should I continue with the ones that have been emailed to me?
It looks like we have no questions at this time, but once again, that's star one if you'd like to enter the queue.
Okay, great. So, David, I think I'll throw this question over to you. Does CJP make money from offering donor-advised funds? And the same question is about JSEP.
Okay, thanks. I'll tackle the donor-advised fund question first. CJP for years has offered our donor-advised fund program to the community at purposefully very competitive rates from a fee perspective and from a minimum fund size to open, a minimum grant amount. And we've done that historically to have a much more welcoming and open program to philanthropists at all stages of their life cycle, if you will. And that's really, you know, helped to position us as a great entryway into philanthropy with a lot of our younger donors, and that's something we're really proud of. Currently, today, our donor advised fund program generates a little less, right around $1.5 million in annual administrative fee revenue. And right now, we estimate that it costs us slightly under $1 million to run the donor advised fund program. And so one of the things we're proudest about, one of the things we like to tout, not to use a word I'm not supposed to use, but to tout a little bit, is the excess fee revenue over the expense of running the program. We're able to put that back out into the community through our annual resource allocation process. And so, you know, I hate to keep referring to the website, but if you go out and look at CJP's website and in the section of where we allocate our funds, you'll see a line that talks about that. For the coming year, we're anticipating that we're going to be able to distribute about $400,000 of additional resource back out into the community, and that represents fee revenue generated, less cost to run the program. From a Jewish Community Endowment Pool standpoint, because Jewish Community Endowment Pool, or JSEP, is a limited liability partnership, and the way it's structured and positioned is under, I'm not going to get into the SEC no action letters that it's positioned under, but it's a very interesting story. But we're not allowed in our current structure, because we don't register with the SEC, to charge a fee, a revenue-generating fee. What we are able to do, however, is to offset our costs to administer the partnership. And CJP does a lot of work in working with those 80 individual organizations. We also separately audit Jewish Community Endowment Pool and manage all the flows, the inflows and outflows of assets. And we estimate that administering Jewish Community Endowment Pool costs us in the $500,000 to $600,000 range. And that cost is borne by the partnership itself, meaning that each of the partners, individual investment partners, pay a proportionate share of the cost to administer the partnership. So the answer in actually both cases is no, but the Donor Advised Fund Program does generate upside resources that are then shared across all of our community organizations.
Great. Thank you, David. This question I would like to direct to you, Charlie. How do I get an organization I care about, quote, on the radar for donor-advised funds? Does CJP promote particular giving opportunities to its donor-advised fund participants?
That's a great question. And this is something I've actually had a chance to talk about at some public forums over the years with actually other donor-advised fund program managers. And generally what we tell organizations is that the way to get it on the radar is to do the good old-fashioned fundraising and cultivation and network development work that CJP does as well to engage philanthropists in our mission. Work on contacting, connecting with individual donors, get them passionate about your organization's mission, and they will in turn support it in the generous way we know our community does. Donor-advised fund grants are, at the end, recommended by individuals, and so individuals will choose, if they have a donor-advised fund, to recommend a grant to your organization. If they give another way, through personal funds or through a foundation at which they're a trustee or through a corporate giving program, they might do that in addition or instead. There is no way to fast-track information to get it in front of the community of donor-advised fund participants beyond the difficult and really rewarding work of building those relationships. CJP looks to be neutral in terms of where our donors are interested. We don't promote particular funding opportunities either inside or outside the Jewish community. I can tell you in 11 years of administering the program, I've almost never been asked for that question. But as we mentioned earlier, we do screen each and every grant recommendation to ensure that it is not in conflict with CJP's mission, to ensure that the grantee is in compliance with IRS regulations as to how public charities should behave themselves.
Okay, great. Thanks, Charlie. Alan, I'd like to turn it back to you to see if there are any callers in the queue with a question. Otherwise, I have, I think, one more that's been emailed in.
And there are no questions on the phones, ma'am.
Okay. So I think this one is also for you, Charlie. It's all under the auspices of sort of how do I get more information? Why should – oh, here it is, the heart of the matter. Why should I open a donor advised fund with you and not Fidelity or someplace like that?
Sure. So I mentioned this earlier, this idea of giving through a Jewish Boston lens, and one of our volunteer leaders helped describe this to me, which is that when you recommend a grant through a donor advised fund and it comes from CJP, even if it's associated with a with your fund name, one of the exciting things is wherever it goes out the little menorah in the corner of the check and on the letter that accompanies it. And it tells an organization, be that in the Jewish community here, in another Jewish community elsewhere in the country or the world, and in particular outside of the Jewish community, to a college, to a hospital, to an environmental group, that you're giving personally as an engaged philanthropist, but what's informing that is the Jewish value of tzedakah, of creating a more just world through personal action and through individual philanthropy. And it sends a really distinct message about what the Jewish community's broader values are, in addition to your own values as a sophisticated philanthropist. That's kind of the meaningful answer. Other answers that I think are important to know, all the customer service for our Donor Advised Fund program is done by incredibly talented professional staff at CJP working here in Boston. It's not a call center somewhere far away. It's real people who get to know our donors by name and are able to be really helpful as interesting challenges or opportunities come up. As David mentioned, our fees and our minimums are competitive because we want to keep this program accessible. Our investment options that we offer in the program are also competitive. We offer a variety of choices, and they rank up well compared to the ones that are managed by larger financial services organizations. And then lastly, there's an opportunity through the open architecture of our program to be flexible in where grants are going, but also in thinking about the future. Donor-advised funds can be a great way to engage children or grandchildren in philanthropy, or a really thoughtful way to create a legacy from yourself personally that upon at the end of your lifetime could go to other charities you care about. Because we don't have a requirement that the donor advice fund at the end of your lifetime be added to CJP's endowment or be spent down, there's some really interesting opportunities to create multi-generational philanthropy then, but also to now engage children, grandchildren in active conversation about what it means to be a philanthropist, what it means to give tzedakah, and to do it in a really organized, thoughtful, creative way.
Well, thank you. Thank you both. I hope everyone on the call learned a lot. I certainly did. Over the next coming days, we'll be sending out some follow-up to this call, including a survey and additional resources. The feedback that you give us on the survey really does matter and help us, so please be honest with it. And thank you all very much for participating. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
And that does conclude today's call. We thank everyone again for their participation.